Wednesday, April 13th, 2022. You are listening to the Daily Dose Sports Podcast, and I am your host, Clint Daly, coming to you from the Mile High City here in Denver, Colorado, and we are back for another week of talking sports with a dose of common sense. Hey, happy Wednesday to you. Hope your week is off to a strong start. Hope wherever it is that you are at, maybe at work, maybe at school, maybe you're listening to us while you're on the treadmill at the gym, wherever it is that you're at right now, I hope you're having a strong start to your week. You know, it is springtime. Well, at least here in the United States. It is April now. And in fact, do not forget that this coming weekend is already Easter Sunday. Easter, of course, is observed on the first Sunday following the full moon after the vernal equinox. Considered Christianity's most important holy day, it celebrates the resurrection of Jesus. And depending on which calendar a church may follow, some will celebrate this holiday a little bit earlier than others. Others may celebrate it a little bit later in the year. Leading up to Easter Sunday, of course, is an entire season of observances that begins with Ash Wednesday. That is the official beginning of Lent. Lent, of course, we talked about, is a time of fasting and reflection. It represents the time Jesus spent in the wilderness for 40 days. Many know this is a time when Christians maybe give up something for Lent. Then you have Holy Week. The Sunday before Easter is known as Palm Sunday. It commemorates Jesus' entry into Jerusalem 5 days before he was crucified. You have what is called Maundy Thursday, which remembers Jesus' Last Supper. Of course, Good Friday is the day of the crucifixion. I have a feeling maybe Jesus would not view that as a good Friday. He might be a little more concerned with the usage of the word good there. Holy Saturday is the period between crucifixion and the resurrection. And then this coming Sunday, we will have Easter Sunday. And you know, Easter Sunday means a lot of different things to a lot of different people. Some people celebrate Easter, they go to church. Some go to like sunrise services first thing in the morning. And it's a very, very solemn, very religious holiday. Other people may dye eggs and some sort of weird rabbit apparently comes to their house and then hides those eggs from them. And then they eat a chocolate rabbit that's shaped like the rabbit apparently that hid the eggs. I don't know. And then if you are in my home state of Colorado, every single year you celebrate Easter by getting ready for another awful Colorado Rockies season, being eliminated from the playoffs mathematically by like June and wishing that the Romans would come back and torture and kill the Mumford family. But however you choose to celebrate Easter this weekend, I hope you have a wonderful Easter weekend coming up. Hey, if you'd like to contact the show, maybe tell us your, I don't know, favorite Easter candy. And I'm telling you right now, if you say Marshmallow Peeps, I'm not sure we can be friends anymore. But we would love to hear from you. Hit us up on email, dailydosesports@gmail.com, or go find us over on Facebook or Twitter. Both of those handles are at Daily Dose Sports. Maybe you've got a question. Maybe you're a little bit worried about your favorite team already looking terrible to start the Major League Baseball season. If so, you're probably a Rockies fan too, and that's just how life is. But whatever it is you want to talk about, reach out to us and drop a line. We would love to hear what you have to say. Also, be sure you stop by DailyDoseSports.com and check out some of the new articles going up there every week. I've told you lately, we're getting some really good numbers, and I have to thank all of you for sharing those articles that are going up, because we're seeing strong numbers on those articles. We're getting some good feedback on that. I am releasing a Daily Doses article on Tuesdays. Usually has a little bit more of a local slant here in the Rocky Mountain region, but it could be about anything. And then we also have featured columnist Young Jimmy, who is posting articles on Thursdays. So make sure you stop by DailyDoseSports.com and check out some of the new things going on over there. Plus, you can always find the podcast. You can find the video. You can find a lot of information over at DailyDoseSports.com. And hey, we all know we're all doing that online shopping. It's just easier than trying to go to a store and seeing if they have in stock what you want. Just go over to tpublic.com and pick up some new Daily Dose gear. We have a number of designs for you to choose from. We've got Daily Dose standard logo gear, Daily Dose iTeam gear. You can get a Daily Dose basketball or football t-shirt, sweatshirt, hoodie. You can pick it in whatever color that you want. So just go to tpublic.com, search Daily Dose, and find exactly what it is that you need. Hey, today on the show, we actually have a number of things to get to. There are a lot of stories coming out this week in the world of sports we want to talk about. The college basketball season is now complete. We have a few awards we're going to be handing out. Plus, the NBA playoffs are underway. They got started last night. And we have a Daily Dose Top 5 for you that is taking a look at those NBA playoffs. We're going to be getting to that here in just a few moments. But first, let's jump into some of the bigger news stories from this past week. Speaking of spring.
Spring, of course.
Huh? You know, spring, rejuvenation, rebirth, everything's blooming, all that crap.
The Masters at Augusta National Golf Club took place over the weekend. And of course, you know, the Masters, a spring tradition, unlike any other, you might say. But, you know, I really felt bad for Scottie Scheffler over the weekend. If you didn't watch, if you weren't paying attention, Scheffler played great golf all weekend. He was so good. Even when he stumbled just a little bit on Sunday, he found a way to right the ship. He got things under control, and he manages to win a green jacket this weekend. But of course, what was the biggest story of the tournament? I hate to say this, and I genuinely feel bad about saying this. It wasn't Scottie Scheffler. It was the fact that Tiger Woods played. And how did that go?
Did you have fun?
Yeah, well, for a little while.
Okay, maybe not the greatest, but hey, Tiger played. He competed again for a little while. He competed. But then you could see physically it was just so much, and he has that bad leg, the injury he had from that car crash. Walking was a struggle for Tiger. And the more tired he got, the more you could see his game kind of fading away. But it was interesting to me because as watching the tournament, you're hearing people going, yeah, you know, Tiger's fading. He just can't keep up. What were you expecting? I mean, honestly, it's pretty amazing that he's even walking, let alone competing at the Masters, not at some podunk country club. He's competing at the Masters. Hey, a lot of people didn't get the storybook ending they really thought they deserved or whatever. But make no mistake about this. Just playing over the weekend is an absolutely incredible comeback story. I mean, to put it in like perspective, this is in the company of like Mario Lemieux and Muhammad Ali and George Foreman. Don't let the final score tell you otherwise. We saw something at the Masters over the weekend that was absolutely incredible. Tiger Woods went out and played, competed, and even made the cut. Forget the final score. That's amazing. And also, by the way, I'm sorry to Scottie Scheffler. I really am. You played so well and you still got upstaged. It's not your fault. It's just how things kind of went. Congrats to Scottie Scheffler. But hey, what an amazing story about Tiger Woods. You know, we have received some television ratings that I think you might find at least a little bit interesting. Because we talked about it last week, but the University of Kansas set a record for the biggest comeback last week in the NCAA tournament championship game. They came back from 15 points down and beat North Carolina. Well, it wasn't just Kansas that was setting records, because the game was also setting records. CBS Sports and Turner Sports said the Kansas-North Carolina championship game was the most viewed NCAA men's championship game ever on cable television. That game delivered an average of 18.1 million viewers, which actually was a 4% increase over last year's Baylor versus Gonzaga championship game. But remember, last year's championship game was on CBS. This was on TBS, just a cable channel. This was not just local TV. The Jayhawks victory was the third most watched college basketball game in cable TV history. Just a shade, I might add, behind North Carolina's win over Duke in Saturday's Final Four game. That drew 18.5 million viewers, and Wisconsin's Final Four win back in 2015 over the University of Kentucky. But the network said the ratings for the entire tournament averaged nearly 11 million viewers per game and a 17.0 share per game. Both of those are a 13% increase over last year. And the 17.0 share is the best for the entire tournament since going back to 1994. Really strong numbers for the NCAA tournament. I know a lot of times we look at college basketball, we go, we don't care about college hoops. Well, no, we don't care about the regular season, but when it comes tournament time, oh, we are all in on the NCAA tournament. March Madness gets everybody watching, and that was no different this year. Ratings went up. Unfortunately, we also got some other ratings last week. Because do you realize this? Last Thursday's Cincinnati Reds versus Atlanta Braves Major League Baseball opening night baseball game also set a record. And I'm not even joking. Like, really good numbers. That baseball game between the Reds and the Braves averaged 1.37 viewers on ESPN, marking the largest opening day Major League Baseball audience since back in 2018. Hold up one second. Seriously? That's the largest? 1.37 million watched Major League Baseball. I know here at The Dose, like, we make fun of Major League Baseball a lot because they never make more of their events. They don't, like, publicize or advertise or have all this stuff. Hey, MLB, don't miss it. Hey, opening day. Hey, you know, the World Series. Like, they hide all that stuff. But, I mean, come on. 1 million viewers? When you're getting beat out by, like, a QVC ad for, I don't know, luggage, it might be time for baseball to rethink their plan. Because you're not getting very many people watching that. And you're excited about it. You're like, yay, we got 1 million watchers. Yeah, that's not that good. I know you think it's good. It's not that great. Not great news for Major League Baseball this week. Switching over to football. American football, I might add. Because think about this. American football is not currently in the Olympics. But the NFL is actually hoping they can change that. Do you realize the NFL is actually pushing to get flag football into the Olympic Games? And there is a chance it could happen. In 2013, the International Olympic Committee recognized football's international federation, but of course they didn't put the sport into the games or anything like that. In order to be included in the Olympics, the sport must have a broad international representation. That is what the IOC said. Of course, we all know you could probably just give the IOC some money and they do it. Anyways, American football actually applied to be included in the Tokyo Games. Didn't even get to the proposal stage. Instead, softball, baseball, karate, skateboarding, that kind of stuff got in. In the upcoming 2024 Paris Olympics, there are going to be new sports. You get skateboarding, you get sport climbing, and you get surfing. So football will not be on the table for 2024, but it could happen in 2028. Now, that might sound a long, long way out, but I mean, time flies, right? Especially when we're having this much fun. But I want you to think about this. In 2028, the Olympic Games are going to be in Los Angeles. I mean, you could maybe make a push for American football. Granted, it would be flag football, but American football to be at the 2028 Los Angeles Olympics. Maybe that would be the perfect home for introducing football to the Olympic Games in Los Angeles. Ironically, a city where so many people don't have homes. Whatever's going on out there. California is a wild place. One horribly tragic story coming out over the weekend as Pittsburgh Steelers quarterback Dwayne Haskins died this weekend when he was struck by a vehicle getting out of his car early on Saturday morning. They say Haskins had some sort of motor vehicle trouble. He got out of his car and he was hit by a truck. Dwayne Haskins was just 24 years old. And while we all know he had struggled in the NFL, he was really having a hard time kind of taking his game to the NFL level. Keep this in mind. There were those that believed Dwayne Haskins might be the best bet for the Pittsburgh Steelers starting quarterback job this year, now that Ben Roethlisberger has retired. Just a terrible, terrible story about a guy that has gone way too soon, a guy that has gone way too young, and a guy who we don't know. Maybe he would have come out this year and done something special. Lost to Dwayne Haskins this weekend. Very, very tragic story there. We have a little more bad news coming out for the NFL this week. The U.S. House Oversight Committee sent a letter to the Federal Trade Commission saying they found evidence of the NFL's Washington Commanders engaged in unlawful financial conduct. In the letter obtained by the Associated Press, the committee said the team was withholding ticket revenue from visiting teams and refundable ticket deposits from season ticket holders. The committee said emails, documents, and statements made by former employees indicate team executives and owner Dan Snyder engaged in, quotes, a troubling, long-running, and potentially unlawful pattern of financial conduct. Of course, Congress launched an investigation into the team's workplace misconduct after the league did not release a report detailing the findings of an independent probe into what was going on in that team's front office. And after testimony from former employees, that investigation expanded to the organization's finances. Here's a question. Does anything good ever come from anywhere near owner Daniel Snyder? No. I mean, he has been an unmitigated disaster from the very beginning. The Detroit Lions and New York Jets think Washington is a mess. But here's the other thing I want you to think about. As much as we're going to hear about how Washington needs a new owner, and believe me, I get it. Washington is a mess. But honestly, is there a more perfect owner for Washington, D.C. than Dan Snyder? No way. There's no way. He's perfect. Shady, he steals, racist, huge loser, never does anything right, is always bumbling and trying to hide his tracks. I mean, he's exactly the type of owner that Washington, D.C. deserves. How would you find anything better than Dan Snyder? Hey, keep it rolling, Mr. Snyder. You are a true treasure. Finally, we know one of the biggest stories in the NFL offseason this year is the lawsuit between former Miami Dolphins coach Brian Flores and the NFL. Brian Flores is suing, saying that he lost his job due to racial implications. Well, he got a little bit of help this last week when former Arizona Cardinals head coach Steve Wilks and former Tennessee Titans defensive coordinator Ray Horton joined the accusations that have been made against the NFL regarding racial discrimination in the hiring process. The federal class action lawsuit will now include separate accounts of alleged discrimination against both Wilks and Horton. Horton's accusation of discriminatory practices focuses on the Titans during their search for a head coach leading up to the 2016 season. Wilks, meanwhile, only worked as the Cardinals head coach for 1 year in 2018, and he was fired after he finished the year 3-13. And you just know, when these two coaches came on board to kind of help Brian Flores, Brian Flores had to be like, really? Them? Can you give me anything? Like, can you give me some candidates that were actually, I don't know, good at their job? Because both of these guys sucked, and you're actually hurting my chances by coming on board. You know, in my time, I actually won games. Steve Wilks, you were terrible at Arizona. All you did was get Arizona the top draft pick. Horton has never been a very good defensive coordinator anywhere he's been. Why are these guys that are so bad trying to help me? And no, Hugh Jackson, I don't want any input from you either. You don't help my cause. You're hurting my chances too. Brian Flores right now has to be highly aggravated by the people that are coming to take up his cause for him, because we talked about it here on the Dose. This was already a tough case to win. And the guys that are coming on to help him, they say, help him, they're not really helping all that much. Okay, coming back. The college basketball season is now over. But let me ask you the question. What are we going to remember about this year in college basketball? We have a few awards to hand out from a historic season in college hoops when we get back. So the 2022 NCAA basketball season is now complete, as we saw a crazy upset-filled tournament end up, well, actually in four Blue Bloods landing in the Final Four and a number one seed winning it all. But I swear, it really was a surprising tournament. There were a lot of upsets. There were a lot of things we never saw coming. I'm not just saying that. It really did happen. Really. I know people are going to go back someday and look at like the Wikipedia page and be like, yeah, this is a real thrilling tournament. No, I swear, it was actually good. The number one Kansas Jayhawks had a couple of early scares. You might remember they struggled a little bit against Creighton. They struggled a little bit against Providence. But once they got going, Kansas used their speed. They used their shooting. They use their defense. I mean, who knew they had that? They took it all the way to a championship down in New Orleans. The national championship is the fourth for the University of Kansas and the second for head coach Bill Self. And while we are all pretty sure that Kansas is going to be vacating this title really, really soon because of, you know, all their tomfoolery and recruiting violations and just blatant cheating, the NCAA can't take away the experience of that team or of their fans or of their coaches. The Jayhawks are the champs, at least until the NCAA pulls those banners down from the rafters. But right now, we are going to hand out a few season-end awards for the 2022 college basketball season. And our first award up is going to go to the most outstanding player in college basketball. Now, I know last week when Kansas won the national championship, the most outstanding player was awarded to Kansas guard Ochai Agbaji. Hey, I like Agbaji. I really do. Was he the most outstanding player? Probably not. Oscar Tshiebwe at Kentucky, he actually won the Naismith Trophy for Men's Player of the Year. And honestly, Tshiebwe might be the best player in college basketball. I would expect he will be the number one pick in this coming NBA draft. But I'm not going to give him the most outstanding player either. We're going to talk a little bit more about Kentucky and a little bit more about Tshiebwe a little later, but I'm not going to go with either one of those guys. I'm going to go with a different player. And that is Purdue leading scorer Jaden Ivey. On a team that had a number of players that were totally worthy of getting individual honors, it was Jaden Ivey that led Purdue in scoring. But it wasn't just that Ivey was a scorer. We can find a lot of people that scored. There are people at colleges that didn't even make the tournament that put up huge, huge numbers. Ivey led the team in scoring. He scored 17 points a game. But it wasn't just that he scored. It was the way he scored. He scored his points so efficiently. Do you realize Jaden Ivey made 52% of his two-point attempts? He's not a big man. He's a guard or kind of a swing player. He is not a guy going inside and just getting everything at the rim. 52% from the field, that's pretty good. He shot 40% from three-point land. Purdue's offense ranked number one in efficiency nationally, and Jaden Ivey was the engine that made that Boilermakers offense go. He carried Purdue to the Sweet 16, and he is our most outstanding player. I know that might go against what a lot of people voted for. That's who I would go with. Next up, we have our Coach of the Year. And I know Providence head coach Ed Cooley won all the awards for Coach of the Year this year. And this isn't a slight against Cooley. But if I was going to give a Daily Dose Coach of the Year, I would give it to another coach. Because this coach had to overcome so much more. Now, I could give it to Arizona head coach Tommy Lloyd. He takes over for Sean Miller. He got the Wildcats a number one seed. But, of course, as usual, Arizona underachieved. So I'm not giving it to Tommy. No, I would give our Daily Dose Coach of the Year to Houston head coach Kelvin Sampson. Because remember, Houston has now reached at least the Sweet 16 each of the last three tournaments. They've had an Elite Eight and a Final Four berth over the past 2 years. Now you hear that and you say, oh, great, great. What are you going to give him? The Lifetime Achievement Award? No, no, no. Because I also want you to keep in mind that the Cougars this year lost two key pieces to their team in Marcus Sasser and Tremont Mark. That was back in December. Now, Sasser is like an All-American kid. And Mark is a really, really good player, not quite at the All-American status, but you lost two key contributors to your team. And somehow, the Houston Cougars bounced back. They went all the way to the Elite Eight. And don't forget, they upset Arizona on that run. The Houston Cougars finish with a 32-6 record. And Kelvin Sampson has now posted a pair of 30-win seasons with Houston. That doesn't happen with Houston. This isn't Phi Slamma Jamma. Somehow he's doing it. Again, will we find out later? Maybe everything wasn't on the up and up. Yeah, probably so, because that's how Kelvin Sampson usually goes. But I've got to give our Coach of the Year to Kelvin Sampson. What a great job he has done down there with the Houston Cougars. Next up, we have the best game of the tournament. And, you know, like we talked about, I know we ended up with blue blood programs in the Final Four. But don't forget, there were some really, really fun games in the tournament. We had the Baylor 25-point comeback against North Carolina. I know it came up a little short in overtime, but what a thrilling game that was. We had Texas Tech making a furious comeback to beat Notre Dame. We had TCU giving Arizona all they wanted. And then at the end of the game, the referees kind of swallowed their whistles at the end. But that was a great, great game in the first round. But was there a better game in this year's tournament, or even this year in the regular season, than the Final Four game between North Carolina and Duke? Duke was favored to beat Carolina after the Tar Heels had beaten Coach K in his final home game in Durham, but in a game that saw 18 lead changes, there were 12 ties. Tar Heels guard Caleb Love scored Carolina's final 6 points over the last 24 seconds, and the North Carolina Tar Heels beat Duke 81-77. And instead of Mike Krzyzewski going for his sixth championship, North Carolina sent Mike Krzyzewski out to pasture. And then, of course, after the game, he talked about none of this was about him. This was all about the kids. Despite the fact that he pretty much made the entire thing about him for the past 5 months, we're not going to look at that. We're just going to remember what a fun, fun Final Four game that was between North Carolina and Duke. Next up, you know, every year here at The Dose, we have a few special Daily Dose college basketball awards that we hand out. And our first one today is the George Mason Surprise of the Year. Hey, we all remember George Mason's incredible run to the Final Four back in 2006. So who is the team that surprised us all this year? I mean, I suppose we could go with North Carolina, who tied the 1985 Villanova team for lowest seed to make it all the way to the national championship game. But honestly, should UNC have been an 8 seed? No, probably not. Plus, I mean, you're North Carolina. You should be winning. So I'm not giving our George Mason award to Carolina. We could give our award to number 10 Miami, who went all the way to the Elite Eight. But I mean, we know Jim Larrañaga can coach. He was, after all, the coach of George Mason back in 2006. No, we have to give our surprise of the year to the biggest surprise of the year. Because who in the world had Jersey City's St. Peter's winning even a single game? No one. That's who. Probably not even St. Peter's fans. But who had them winning 3 games? Yeah, even less than 0. St. Peter's. The St. Peter's Peacocks undoubtedly win our George Mason Award this year. You know, every year we do hand out another award, but this one is more of, I guess you'd say, disrepute. We give it to the team that underachieved the most, and the name of this award is the Arizona Award. I mean, you know, for obvious reasons. Because every single year, aside from like 1997, Arizona underachieves in the NCAA tournament. And don't look now, but they did it again this year. They folded up in the Sweet 16 to Houston. But I mean, getting to the Sweet 16, that's actually good for Arizona. So I'm not going to give it to Arizona. We could give the Arizona Award to Baylor for being the first number one seed to bow out. Don't forget, they were down by 25 to North Carolina before they made a run and then lost. We could easily give it to Baylor. We could give it to Gonzaga for going down to Arkansas yet again, despite being the number one team in the country for most all the season. Gonzaga could easily get our Arizona Award this year. But no, we have another big fish out there that is a little bit more deserving. Because the Kentucky Wildcats sure looked like they had an easy path to make a nice deep run into this year's tournament. They had Murray State, Purdue, Texas over in their quadrant, but that would be manageable for Kentucky. Just beat St. Peter's and let's see what happens. I mean, like we talked about earlier, you have who is probably the best player in the country in Oscar Tshiebwe. And Tshiebwe went out against St. Peter's. He had 30 points. He went out and did his part, I guess. Unfortunately for Kentucky, No one else did anything. And Kentucky went down in the first round to an opponent that none of us saw coming. For that, the Kentucky Wildcats win our 2022 Arizona Award. Okay, so we have just a few more college basketball awards to hand out today. And this next one is the Anderson Hunt Award that we give to the player that looks so good in the tournament. It's just that we kind of know we'll probably never hear from them again. If you don't remember Anderson Hunt, he was so good for the UNLV Running Rebels back in 1989, 1990. Goes out, scores 29 in the championship game, could just shoot the lights out. Got in a little bit of trouble after his college career, and we never heard from Anderson Hunt again. So who is the player this year that looks so good in the tournament, but we know we're probably never going to hear from again? And who else can we give it to but the porn stash himself? Yes, I am talking about St. Peter's guard Doug Eddard, who looked exactly like Joe Dirt.
All I got to do is keep being a good person. No matter what, good things will come my way.
But make no mistake, Eddard did have some filthy game in those three games that St. Pete's won. Granted, we'll never hear from Eddard again, but what an amazing run for a goofy-looking white guy with a porn mustache. Doug Eddard wins our Anderson Hunt Award this year. Next up is another notorious award that we have here at the Dose, and that is the Mark Madsen Rec League Award. And if you're not familiar with this one, this award is given to the player that is someday going to be playing on a rec league team, and everybody's going to be like, yeah, I don't know who this loser is, but I've got this guy. And he is just going to be torching people because they don't look like a player, but they have some sneaky game. And yes, once again, let's bring back Doug Eddard back to the stage, because if you are playing at your local rec center and you draw the dork with the goofy hair and the ugly mustache, you think I'm going to have an easy day today. I'm going to show this dork exactly how good I am. Man, everybody missed the boat on my game. Who are you going to be embarrassed? Doug Eddard wins back-to-back awards today on the Dose, because if you happen to draw that guy in a rec league game, he is going to light you up. It's going to be a rough day if you pick up Doug Eddard. He wins our Mark Madsen Rec League Award. Okay, so our final Daily Dose College Basketball Award this year is, of course, the Kardashian Award. And if you're not familiar with the Kardashian Award here at the Dose, we give that to the most covered player or team or coach or whoever that gets all the press. They get all the attention, but then they don't quite live up to all the hype. And honestly, where else could we go for this? Because remember, our Kardashian Award winner announced back in June that this was going to be his final year. He didn't have to do that. He could have just played out the season and not put all of that pressure on his kids. But Duke head coach Mike Krzyzewski, hey, he went a different route. He told everyone. And then he got a year-long farewell tour, and then he proceeded to lose his final game at home to the hated North Carolina Tar Heels. Okay, who cares? Go into the tournament, win the title in your final year, and no one will even care about any of that. So then Duke gets on a roll. They go all the way to the Final Four. They somehow get the rematch with North Carolina, with their biggest rival, with the team that has managed to beat Coach K more than they've lost to him. And what happens? He gets bounced out of the tournament by those same North Carolina Tar Heels. Hey, a ton of hype this year for Mike Krzyzewski, and understandably so. He might be the greatest college basketball coach ever. And yet, there sure was a lot of hype. But Coach K did not live up to that hype. And for that, he gets our Daily Dose Kardashian Award. Sorry, Coach K, but you kind of brought this one on yourself. Okay, coming back, the NBA playoffs are here, and we are going to take a brief look at some very interesting storylines to watch. Plus, one team is notoriously absent from those playoffs. And it's a little odd, Because, I mean, they just won the title a couple of years ago. But how many teams have fallen apart that quickly? Well, today on our Daily Dose Top 5, you're going to see we've had a few. So the NBA playoffs are now here. Well, sort of. I mean, we have the little play-in games, but at least they are single elimination, and at least they're pretty exciting. But you know, sometimes it takes a little while for the NBA playoffs to heat up, but I actually think we should have some very interesting stories to keep an eye on this postseason. Because I know the Miami Heat are the top seed in the Eastern Conference, but Miami's been having some division in that locker room. They should be very strong, but it wouldn't surprise me that much if they stumble. I want to see what Miami does in this postseason. Another thing I'm going to be looking for, can the Phoenix Suns keep it rolling the way they have all year? Because Phoenix has been absolutely dominant. There's no reason they shouldn't roll all the way to a title. Except for the fact that, I mean, it is Phoenix. They've never done it before, so I don't know if they're going to do it again. Can the Golden State Warriors return to the form that they were showing earlier in this season? And then they've had so many injuries, get someone back, someone else goes out. Steph Curry has been out for quite a while now. He's just coming back. What is Golden State going to do? Can they return to form? Can the defending champion Milwaukee Bucks find their game again? I actually think Milwaukee is probably the team to beat over in the East. Just because of their experience, because of their toughness, because of the way that they play defense. But can Milwaukee defend their title? What about those young Memphis Grizzlies over in the West? Hey, Memphis has looked really, really good at times this season. Are they able to keep that going in the postseason? Can they grow up a little bit and maybe show us, hey, we can play with anybody too? And one of the biggest things I'm looking for in the NBA playoffs this year, is there a team out there that we don't see coming? Is there maybe a 3 or a 4 or 5 or even a 6 seed that we're just like, hey, they got hot at the right time? And we have seen this happen so many times in the past. A team gets hot and they just ride that tide all the way to the conference finals or even to the NBA finals. It's going to be an interesting NBA playoffs this year because there are a number of teams out there that we haven't really seen have success. Phoenix, Memphis. Don't know what Miami's doing. Don't know what Philly's going to do. What about some of those teams that have MVP candidates? Are those candidates going to step up even bigger in the playoffs? The NBA playoffs, no, we won't be glued to them like the NFL, but they will be interesting. It's going to be fun to see where these playoffs go this year. Now, as we do so many weeks here at the Daily Dose, we need to get over to our Daily Dose Top 5. Like we've talked about, the NBA playoffs began last night, well, sort of, but they're really going to get rolling on Saturday when we actually start those 7-game series. We have the play-in stuff happening right now, but then we're going to get those series actually going. However, one team that is absent from these playoffs are the Los Angeles Lakers. Don't forget, they were winners of the 2020 NBA championship. That was just 2 years ago. And yes, I know, it was that goofy bubble title. No one watched it. No one cared. And they couldn't even have a parade. But the Lakers did win a championship. Remember? They went 52-19. And then they beat the Miami Heat in 6 games. They won a title. Granted, there were no fans there. There was no one in attendance. But they did win a title. And then this year? Well, it didn't go so well. The Lakers didn't even make it to the postseason. But here's a question for you. Is that the quickest fall we have seen from a champion? No, not quite. But today, our Daily Dose Top 5 is counting down the top 5 NBA champions that fell apart in just 2 years. That's not a very long amount of time, by the way. 2 years, and you've already completely fallen off. We've got 5 examples of that today. Let's start off at number 5. And honestly, we don't have to go back that far. In 2011, the Miami Heat had assembled themselves an all-star team. Well, remember, they had LeBron James, they had Dwayne Wade, they had Chris Bosh. They were going to win, what was it? 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 titles. Remember all that?
Not 2, not 3, not 4, not 5, not 6, not 7.
The Heat cruised through the playoffs in 2011. They beat Philly. They beat Boston. They beat Chicago in just 5 games. And then they landed in the NBA Finals. Meanwhile, over in the Western Conference, the San Antonio Spurs and the Los Angeles Lakers were the top 2 seeds in the West. But the Spurs had been upset in the first round by the Memphis Grizzlies. Then Oklahoma City took out the Lakers, and somehow the Dallas Mavericks made it to the NBA Finals. Well, this would be easy. The Heat are going to get another cakewalk. Yeah, it was easy. It was easy for Dallas. The Mavericks pounded the Heat in 6 games. They completely shut down Miami's offense. They allowed them to score just 92 points per game. And the Dallas Mavericks, with Dirk Nowitzki and Jason Terry and J.J. Barea, beat the mighty Miami Heat. Okay, so they won the title. The Mavs came back in 2012 to defend their title, and the team was a little older. Maybe they were a little less driven. Maybe they didn't work quite as hard. They barely squeaked into the playoffs. They got in as the number 7 seed. They actually got swept out by Oklahoma City in just 4 games. Okay, so that's season 1. Season 2, in 2013, the Mavericks went 41-41, and they missed the playoffs entirely. Hey, these falls from a championship, they can happen quickly. And the 2013 Dallas Mavericks are proof. Going from championship to 500 ball in just 2 years, yeah, it can happen. And today, those Dallas Mavericks come in at number 5. We roll on to number 4. And we reach a team that many people have forgotten, or maybe they just never knew it existed. But this team was memorable for a number of reasons. Back in 1979, the Seattle Supersonics won the NBA championship behind head coach Lenny Wilkins and a really good defense and some really tough, scrappy, smart players. They had Jack Sigma. They had Dennis Johnson. They had Gus Williams. The Sonics beat the Lakers, and then they beat the Phoenix Suns in the Western Conference playoffs. They advanced to the NBA Finals, where they ran into Elvin Hayes and Wes Unseld and a very tough Washington Bullets team. But hey, Gus Williams was playing really good basketball. Williams averaged 29 points per game in that series, and the Seattle Supersonics cruised to a title in just 5 games. Now, their decline didn't start nearly as fast. They went 56-26 in 1980. They went all the way to the Western Conference Finals, where they lost to the Lakers in 5 games. But then the bottom fell out for the Sonics. In 1981, Seattle now no longer has Dennis Johnson. They no longer have Gus Williams. And the Seattle Supersonics went 34-48. They finished in 6th place in the Pacific Division, which was dead last for that division. The Seattle Supersonics missed the playoffs entirely after winning it all just 2 years before. The 1981 Seattle Supersonics come in today on our list at number 4. We arrive at number 3. And we go to a franchise that has won a ton of championships, but they never had a collapse quite like this. In 1976, the Boston Celtics were in the middle of a pretty incredible run. Think about this. From 1957 until 1986, the Celtics won 16 NBA titles. Yes, it was pretty much against, you know, white guys. But still, that's an amazing run in any era. Well, 1976, the Boston Celtics were loaded again. They had Dave Cowens. They had JoJo White. They had John Havlicek. The Celtics rolled easily through the postseason. They crushed the Buffalo Braves. They beat the Cleveland Cavaliers. And then they beat the Phoenix Suns in the NBA Finals. Hey, the Celtics are going to just keep on winning. It's what they did. And they did keep winning. Well, for a while. In 1977, the Celtics were still a force. They went 44-38. Not quite as good. But then they went to the Eastern Conference semifinals, and they lost a heartbreaking series to the hated Philadelphia 76ers in 7 games. Well, losing a series like that can take a lot out of you. Those games wear on you. Those games age you. And by now, John Havlicek, he was getting near the end of his incredible career. So in 1978, 2 years later, it was going to be Havlicek's final season. And his game was slipping a little bit. The Celtics would really struggle to score points. Head coach Tommy Heinsohn would be fired mid-season. The Boston Celtics would finish the 1978 season with a 32-50 record. They missed the playoffs completely. Yes, Boston would bounce back. Just a few years later, they would be back to contending for titles again. But 1978 was rough. And the 78 Boston Celtics come in today at number 3. We arrive at number 2. And we get to a team that has a common theme on this list. They were aging. They were getting older. Their best years were behind them. But make no mistake, our number 2 entry has nothing to do with the players. This was all about ownership. And, unfortunately, it was all about money. And how do you know when it's about money? When they tell you it's not about money. In 1998, the Chicago Bulls had won their 6th championship. They beat the Utah Jazz in the NBA Finals for the 2nd season in a row. Of course, the Bulls had Michael Jordan. They had Scottie Pippen. They had Dennis Rodman. They had Tony Kukoc. But there were big problems within the organization. Because Bulls owner Jerry Reinsdorf, he didn't want to bring back head coach Phil Jackson. And he was really getting tired of paying the luxury tax on his roster of stars. So the Chicago Bulls just let everyone leave. And man, was it ugly. It didn't even take a full 2 years. In 1999, the very next year, the Bulls went 13-37. You'll remember that was kind of a weird strike-shortened year. 2 years later, they were actually a little bit better. 2 years after that championship, they were actually a tiny bit better. The Chicago Bulls would go 17-65 after having Jordan and Pippen and Rodman and Kukoc. Now they had stars like Elton Brand and Rusty LaRue and Randy Brown. Well, I mean, no wonder the Bulls fell off the cliff so quickly. They just stopped paying players. And honestly, they totally got what they deserved. And they are still paying for those sins today. Because the Bulls had one of the most special rosters ever. They had one of the greatest coaches in league history. And what, they just got tired of all the winning? They got tired of spending money to win games. So they let them all leave. And how did that work out? Well, they went from titles to 17-65 in just 2 short seasons. The 2000 Chicago Bulls went from first to worst, and they come in today at number 2. So we arrive at our number 1 entry of NBA champions that let it all go away completely in just 2 years. And we go back to 2006, where the Miami Heat had a massive two-headed monster. Shaquille O'Neal had gone to Miami, where it was thought he could lead a team to another title. But it was kind of weird because it ended up being not so much Shaq as it was a 24-year-old superstar named Dwayne Wade that was just torching teams every single night. The Heat went 52-30. They rolled through the playoffs, crushing everyone in their path. They beat the Bulls in 6 games. They beat the Nets in 5 games. They beat the Pistons in 6 games. Then they went to the NBA Finals. They faced the Dallas Mavericks. And that time, it was no problem, because the Miami Heat scorched the Mavericks in 6 games as well. Head coach Pat Riley had won himself another title. Not with the Lakers. He had gone across the country and done it with the Miami Heat. And once again, the Miami Heat were okay the next year after winning the title. They made the playoffs. Record wasn't quite as good. They went 44-38. But Shaquille O'Neal was wearing down quickly. And the next year in 2008, Shaq was now 35 years old. He had a lot of miles on that giant body. And Dwayne Wade was starting to have some knee problems. In 2008, just 2 years after winning the title, the Miami Heat would go 15-67. It would take a few more years until LeBron James would agree to take his talents to South Beach for the Miami Heat to recover they went downhill really, really quickly. Now, the Los Angeles Lakers won the title in that weird bubble year back in 2020. This year, they went 33-49. And for the record, by winning percentage, that would make the Lakers place today on our list number 3. You know, the weird thing about the Lakers fall is that they didn't lose all these players to old age. They lost a bunch of players to poor decisions. They picked up all-star guard Russell Westbrook, but they traded a ton of good young talent to get him. They are aging, no question about that. And the Lakers did have a number of injuries. But the fall of the Lakers this year, it feels like it's way more about a lack of leadership, about a lack of direction, about a lack of cohesiveness, and I hate to say, about a lack of effort, way more than it is about their age. The Los Angeles Lakers put all their chips in the middle of the table, and they bet big, and they lost big. So get ready for off-season changes for the Lakers. I don't know how many they can make, but I promise you, changes will be coming. And I mean, don't look now, but the Lakers have already fired head coach Frank Vogel. Now, do you think the personnel moves that were made in the front office were his fault? Of course not. If you want some evidence as to how poorly the Lakers have been running, keep this in mind. Now that this season is over, the Lakers can finally stop paying Luol Deng. Luol Deng is now off of the organization's books as his contract with the team has now ended. Just like now, when the season ended. Deng originally signed a 4-year deal with the Lakers back in the summer of 2016, but the terms of that deal were stretched out an additional 2 seasons in order to free up salary cap space. I mean, Luol Deng only played 57 games in LA before the team cut him, clear back in 2018, but he was still getting paid. In fact, Deng was the highest paid Laker during his 2 seasons in LA. Luol Deng has been out of the league since 2019, but the Lakers have been paying him $5 million each of the last 3 years. That's not a bad gig if you can get it. $5 million bucks and you don't do a thing? He was the 5th highest paid player on the roster this past season. Hey, the Lakers front office is an absolute mess. They can't fire LeBron, so they fire their head coach Frank Vogel. Remember, it was just 2 years ago, Vogel was being credited with the success of this team because he had instilled some defense, he had instilled some toughness, and everyone was saying, hey, Frank Vogel was exactly what the Lakers need. But now, he's the scapegoat. And they will say things like, well, it was his rotations that were to blame. He had the talent, he just didn't know how to play the talent. But he didn't pick the players on this roster. The front office did. LeBron James did. The Lakers now have no future draft picks because they traded them all away to get Russell Westbrook. And now I'm just waiting for them to try to trade Westbrook. But what kind of value does he have? Everywhere he goes seems to get toxic. But once again, this is a front office that caused all these problems. And we know they aren't going to fire themselves. Now, did the Lakers have injuries this year? Yes, no doubt about that. And you know who else had injuries this year? Pretty much everyone. Denver had injuries. Golden State had a ton of injuries. Golden State had a ton of injuries and still won 50 plus games. Here's another weird thing to think about with the Lakers. The LA Lakers have now missed the postseason 7 of the past 9 years. Hey, that kind of failure isn't just a coach thing. That kind of failure starts at the top. And that is exactly what is going on in LA right now. They have dysfunction in the front office. And as a result, they can't have nice things for a sustained amount of time out on the floor. And here's another example of that. Because as we have seen today, a lot of teams get to the top, but then a number of them get knocked back off very, very quickly. Hey, next week on The Dose, we will, of course, continue to look at all things sports. The NBA playoffs are going. The NFL always seems to be in the news. But we also need to begin taking a look at Major League Baseball. We want to have some sort of an idea of what to expect in baseball this season. Who are the teams to watch? Who are the players to watch? There's been a lot of off-season movement over in MLB. We're going to catch up with all of that. So be sure you stop by and be sure you let a friend know to do the same. Hey, it's spring. It is time for MLB. Hey, I want to say thank you to each and every one of you for listening to the Daily Dose every week. Thank you for the emails. Thank you for the texts. Thank you for the tweets. Thank you for going over to DailyDoseSports.com and checking out some of the new things going up there every week. But more than anything, thank you so much for sharing the show, for sharing the videos, for sharing the articles with someone that you know. We absolutely love it when you do that. Have to say thank you to JSP. Could not do any of this without you. I will see you all next Wednesday. Have a great week and have a very safe and a very happy Easter.
All I got to do is keep being a good person. No matter what, good things will come my way.